Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, and we just give you praise and glory, Lord, and just help us this morning to focus on you, to listen as you speak to us through your word, and prompt us to pray as we should pray. And Lord, as we thank you for what you've done for our nation just this last week, and Lord, we thank you for the upcoming Resurrection Week and the opportunity to just focus on you a little bit with respect to the cross, even the days leading up to that, and then the power of the resurrection, the victorious act of the resurrection, a victory over sin and over death, so profound. So Lord, we are so in awe of you, and we just thank you, we just praise you. And Lord, as we looked at the kind of the practical things with regard to Proverbs, help us to glean from what you have for us here in chapter 28. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we're winding on down through the book of Proverbs, I counted them, we have 25 of today's Proverbs have already been given to us in one form or another. So it's a repeat. We have a lot of repeats today. We also are back to the buts again. I kind of like the buts because you can focus on the two contrasting things, and it's pretty clear what the proverb means. And we have 18 verses out of the 28 of buts. So we have a big number there. Some of the words which we'll run into quite a bit today, the word poor will have 6 times. The word wicked, 5 times, the word law, 4 times, the word heart, 3 times, the word evil, 3 times. So those are kind of woven through the Proverbs again today. Verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So a person who is wicked is always in confusion and concern about getting caught. And a little example for us is if we're going down the road and we see a red light somewhere around, what's the first thing you do? You check to see how fast you're going. And if you're normally within the speed limit, you don't worry too much about it. But if you're always driving fast, you've got to always be on the lookout for getting caught, right? So the wicked flee when no one pursues. So you're worrying about getting caught even when there's no one chasing you because of your wickedness. Contrasting, the righteous are bold as a lion. And so the Lord gives us that boldness, doesn't he? And he gives us that wisdom. And he gives us that safety and security as well. Verse 2, because of transgression, or you can say rebelliousness, of a land, many are its princes. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged, or stability will be prolonged. So when the heart of the nation is rebellious against God, they basically go through leader after leader after leader, thinking that the right leader will turn them around. But what do they want in a leader? They want a leader which will just continue to say the good things, but let them continue in their sin. And as long as the nation continues in its sin, it just goes through one after the other. We see that over and over again in the scriptures about Israel. But if you have a righteous man, think of Joseph and his impact when he was number 2 man in Egypt. Think of Daniel. If you read the book of Daniel, and you will see how Daniel was the advisor for up to 4 kings. Amazing, because that would never happen. But there was that stability because of these godly men. I think right now of our godly men, particularly Mike Johnson in the House of Representatives, we are so blessed to have him. And not just him alone, but there are others. John Thune is a believer as well. And so having believers in both houses and having them working together now in such a beautiful way is something we really thank the Lord for. But here is that situation of a rebellious land will have go through its leaders, but a man of understanding and knowledge, right, will be prolonged. Stability will be prolonged. So we thank the Lord for what he's doing that's good in our nation right now. Verse 3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. One of the best examples of that is Felix in the scriptures. Felix was a slave, but his brother was a close friend of one of the top guys. And so Felix was given this high position, and he was a ruthless, evil, wicked ruler, so oppressive. And they put him in a high office, but he wasn't fit for that. And he really ground the poor down. And so this is kind of an example of that. A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Now, what happens with the driving rain, it all runs off, washes the topsoil off, and hurts your productivity. And so a farmer will be very aware of that and try to either terrace his land or have grassy waterways or whatever to keep all the soil from leaving. But over the years, the erosion takes place and the food drops. Food capacity drops of the soil. So that's like a poor man oppressing the poor. Verse 4, those who forsake the law. Okay, well, we got that picture, right? The law forsakers. What do? They praise the wicked. Now, when you look at our press today, I was just thinking back. Now, we got so many good things happening today, it's hard for the press not to say something about it. But for the 4 years of Biden, you know, we had this wonderful man, Ben Carson, very brilliant, you never heard of him. He was saying things, but the press would never pick it up. But they're praising the wicked, aren't they? They're praising the moneymakers and the things of that nature. So that's what this says here. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. They want it to stay because they need that ability to continue their sin, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see right now with Doge and all that other stuff, it's not all just wickedness, but there's a lot of that fraud in there. And so the people cry out against it because their gravy train is getting threatened. I read a statistic this week, which was not unusual, but pretty unusual. 3 states, California, New York, and Massachusetts, account for more than 50% of the fraud in disability insurance. 3 states. So that's what you have when you have a state that just lets anything go, right? And you continue to see the bills coming out of Sacramento, which have no common sense, so far from what the people want, right? We had a good one on Wednesday on that SAFE Act that cuts out the illegals from voting. But of course, California is so against that. California's Republicans offered a bill also this week, but that got shot down by the Democrats. They don't want that. They want all the illegals to vote in California. But that's what you have here. They forsake the law. They praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, what? Contend with them. So that's what we should be. That's what we should be, right? Particularly with prayer. We should really be praying against the wickedness, right? Every one of us. And the reason the country's in such bad shape is because the church has not done that over the last 50 years, generally speaking. I don't know about more than that 50 years, but it's the church's responsibility for the spiritual component. It's not the government. And we need to pray. I have a lot of good things happening now. I think the amount of increase in the right things in this country will be directly related to how much we pray. If we cry out, we want the Lord, he will hear it, right? If we cry out or don't cry out and say, I don't care about the Lord, well, you know, it's not going to be good, is it? Verse 5, evil men do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand all. Wow. These buts are really contrasting, aren't they? Yeah. Verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he is rich. And if you have any doubts of that, fast forward to the last breath of the rich person. Who is perverse in his ways? How much is he going to take with him? Where will he spend eternity? That's a tremendous, powerful thought, isn't it? Eternity. I mean, we see the rich and famous, we think, oh, that's, boy, it'd be nice to have all that money and do all these things. But when you consider most of them, it's such a stumbling block that they will not be seeking the Lord. Therefore, they will spend their eternity apart from Him. That's eternity, not just we're here for a few years, right? Maybe 100 years maximum, 80 years, whatever it is. But eternity is forever, and that's where the lost will be. Verse 27 and 28, whoever keeps the law is discerning, or is a wise son. But a companion of gluttons, or that means riotous men, companion of gluttons shames or disgraces his father. Another very big but there. One who increases his possession by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. Verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law. In other words, hearing instruction, you don't want to hear from the Lord. You don't want to do what He tells you, but yet you pray to Him to bless you or bless whatever you're praying for. It's an abomination to the Lord. Verse 10, whoever causes the upright or the righteous to go astray in an evil way. Now, this is really serious here. It's one thing to kind of nullify the righteous. It's quite another one to try to convince the righteous to go astray. Or think in terms of a person who is lost. You can have a believer, and you can have an unbeliever, and you can have someone who says they're a believer, at least for a period, and then they go into, are they going backsliding, or are they going into an apostate condition? Well, it depends, I think. One of the breaking points there is, if you say now, I no longer believe in God, that's bad enough, but if now you try to convince the believers that there is no God, now you've really crossed over the line there, and that's kind of what I see here. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. But the blameless will inherit good. Isn't that a great proverb? I mean, they're all great. But just think on one hand of how bad it is to cause somebody to go astray and how good it is to be righteous and blameless. That doesn't mean sinless, but it means you're not in perverse sin continuing. And when you do sin, you want to confess as soon as you can. But the blameless will inherit good. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. And so now that does not mean, well, it does mean in a way, the rich man can think that he's really wise because he's got a lot of money, but particularly if he's gotten it in the wrong way, he's really poor. Verse 12, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. I like that. Are you rejoicing? Did the world see you rejoicing this week?
Amen.
Ever? Some? And realistic, I'm not just saying when, you know, all the sky is falling and everything else, you say, oh, that's great. No, but you rejoice in who He is and who you are because of what He's done for you. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. They just want to get away from there. Verse 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. I think we all know that. Do we really do that for our little sins? Well, it's just a little sin. No, it's sin. So you try to cover it, you will not prosper. But whoever confesses, now notice this word, and. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I think this is one of the most powerful verses in today's study, because It's really easy to confess your sin, right? Just think about your pervasive sins. How many times have you sinned that sin? How many times have you confessed that sin? And at the same time, how many times have you really been asking for prayer to help him forsake, help you forsake that sin? Because if you're just going to continue to do it over and over and over and over and over again, you're not in good shape. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That one spoke to me. I guess they all do. Verse 14, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into evil or into calamity. How's your heart? I like these but ones because they're so self-explanatory, you can't really mess them up, most of them anyway. Verse 15, like a roaring lion and a charging bear. Now that's a pretty couple of dangerous animals, isn't it? What is like that? A wicked ruler over poor people. Verse 16, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. Think of covetousness there as self-recognition or out of your pride. Do you hate that? If you do, you will prolong your days. Verse 17, a man burdened with bloodshed or murder, he's a murderer, will flee into a pit, let no one help him. God is really, you know, the sanctity of life is such that if any person takes another person's life out of murder, that should be his life. We got the Melendez brothers coming up now again, the sentence being reviewed and all. That's a bunch of nonsense. It doesn't matter how long they've been in prison, and California is even proposing a bill now, I understand, that if you come up for parole over 50, they want you to be released. So at 50, you all of a sudden forget your sin? You all of a sudden, instead of a predator, a sexual predator of children, you forget it? I don't know that they would be paroled, but, you know, these people come up for parole all the time. So when we don't have the righteousness as the standard or the Bible as the standard, you have nothing, really, don't you? Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved. I like that. But he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Another but. 19, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. So hard work is good. No work is not good. Verse 20, a faithful or a reliable man will abound with blessings. Another great statement. In contrast, he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Gick, don't follow or fall for get-rich schemes. They will never lead to anything but trouble. To show partiality or respect to persons is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. If you're just showing favors, you can be bribed for a piece of bread. 22, a man with an evil, I think it could be also translated stingy, a man with a stingy eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. God's blessings do not rest on the stingy man or on the evil man. Verse 23, he rebukes. That means you're not a yes man and just, you know, you don't want to confront anybody in their sin necessarily, but you want to do it out of love. You want to speak truth in love. But he who does that will find more favor afterward. Notice the afterward there. I think it's a big word in that verse. Will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. The flattering with the tongue may feel good, sound good, and may sound good on the surface, but if there's a correction that needs to be made there, and you are not even, and you recognize it, and you're not even letting the other person know as a brother or sister be out of love, it doesn't turn out well. And then the last four verses here we have continuing on pretty much the same general line. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, it is no transgression, the same is a companion to a destroyer. Now, one of the prime examples of that was the Korban in the Hebrew days, in the Jewish days. They came up with this, to get around having to give their money to their parents, they came with this terrible idea, as if you just tell your parents, now I have to give all this to God for your sake. I'm not going to take care of you in your old age, because you can't expect me not to do. So they call that Korban. And so this is what this is really saying. Whoever robs his father or mother and says, it's I can justify it. No. It's no transgression. No, you're wrong. The same is a companion to a destroyer. Verse 25, he is of a proud heart. And we get pride in here, don't we? Almost every week. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. But he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered great. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. We get a fool every week, don't we? He who trusts in his heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So how is your walk? He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. The Lord loves the poor. As I mentioned, we have poor, I think, five times in today's study. Verse 28, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Isn't it good to see a wicked ruler die? When the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. So that's where we end today. So as we pray today, let us keep in mind we've got Resurrection Week coming up. We've got the cross coming up. We've got probably the best opportunity of the year to be sharing the gospel. People are somewhat aware there's Easter, meaning something about resurrection, maybe. Anyway, it's a great opportunity, and also for just to sense what our Lord went through once again, maybe day by day during this coming week, and culminating, of course, on the cross on Friday and the resurrection on Sunday. And remember, tomorrow is such a special day. Yeah, that's the day Jesus announced his messiahship. Very true. But you remember that it is exactly 173,880 days to the day that it was prophesied 483 years earlier when Artaxerxes Longimanus gave the command to Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. And that was the 483 years prophesied by Daniel. And so when you see these prophecies coming true, to that degree of accuracy, man, is God good or is what? And he writes this down in his book. And so we see these prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. And it's so important because we can think of Palm Sunday as just another Sunday we're waving palm branches around. And that's the day Jesus rode in on a donkey. That's true. But when you really put it in perspective, that had been proclaimed 483 years earlier to the day, isn't that more meaningful? I mean, that is unbelievable. We can't prophesy anything. Not one day, let alone 173,880 days. and have it come true exactly right. And you won't find that in any other, there's no other book, there's no other Quran or anything else that has prophecy in it of any degree at all, if it's even right. But God wrote this. So you say, why do you believe in the Bible? Because God wrote it. And you see the prophecies, it could only be by him. He has to be outside the time domain. He can't be time-wise like us, because otherwise he can't do it. So we want to remember tomorrow and just be thankful for that and recognize who he is and how good he is. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all of these things that come to our mind. And now lead us in this time of prayer as a little family here, that we can just bring those things that you want us to pray for together, as you would lead us by one spirit and one accord in Jesus' name. Lead us now, please.
You would throw those lies out that your Holy Spirit would dispel them. So, Lord, we just ask for our families. We know the time is short.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord, and allowing us to focus on your word for a few moments and to pray. And so as we close, I just wanted to come back to verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. And so I was thinking of this familiar little praise song here, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Father, we do pray that you would help us to seek you first, and if we're not, that you would help us, make us willing to seek you first, Lord. Eyes on you, not to be distracted by the evil, not to be distracted by deception, but just eyes on you, on your word. And as has been said, we're all sinners, but there's a huge difference between sinners saved by grace and a sinner not saved by grace. So the eternal issues are just so overwhelming for those around us that do not know you yet. So help us to be available, whatever you would have for us in those regards, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.